The lobby decor featured marble the color of old bone with brass ornamentation. Brass planters held an assortment of tropical foliage. The guest registry was tucked away to the right, quietly blending into the wall. A young woman stood at the desk and watched the action at the bar area, a little farther back into the hotel.
Okay, Doug.
You have one new message.
Hey, Anya, it's Doug. Some guy named Marty Finelli keeps calling. If you ask me, the guy sounds desperate. Maybe he's just a rabid fan, but I figured I'd give you a shout just in case. Anyway, give me a call when you get this.
Doug Morrell was in his early 20s, working at the first job he'd gotten after graduating college. He'd told her on several occasions that all he'd ever dreamed of was working in television. Anya had asked him once how he felt about producing a syndicated show devoted to legends and lore that were often misrepresented. To her dismay, he'd claimed it was the greatest job in the world, and she hadn't been able to doubt his sincerity. Crossing over to the hotel bar, Anya slid her backpack off and sat at a table obscured by a palm tree. The bartender's attention was focused more on the television in the corner than on his clientele. It was almost spring, and baseball was starting up again. Anya dug out her camera and notebook computer, placing both on the table. Then she connected her camera to the computer by USB cable and began uploading the pictures to the hard drive. Rather than stare at the indicator bar as it crawled across the screen, she used the time to return Doug's call.
Anya! What a pleasant surprise!
You're not surprised. You sent that message knowing I'd call you back.
Hoping? I didn't know. What I do know is that when you choose to ignore your phone, it gets ignored big time. But I am curious about what Marty Finelli has that I don't.
Mario Fellini?
Whatever. So, what is he to you?
Someone I knew a long time ago. Did you talk to him?
A couple times, yeah. Seems like a nice guy.
He is. What did he want?
To talk to you.
About what?
He didn't say.
And you didn't press him for answers? That's not like you.
Yeah, this guy's good, Anya. I questioned, he avoided. It's like he had some fantastic mutant ability.
Did he leave a message?
Yep. Oh, and Anya, I need to talk to you about your last story. The Phantom Shark.
We can do the postmortem on that one tomorrow morning as scheduled.
We're going to need more than a postmortem on that one. There are some problems.
Like what?
The Phantom Shark looks fake.
The Phantom Shark was fake. That was mentioned in the piece. The guy who built the shark told me he started pulling the shark around as a prank and to give tourists a little excitement. He said not even kids are scared. They know it's fake, but it's all done in fun.
Our show isn't about fun. It's about creepy. The creepier, the better. Marketing loves creepy. They love scary even more.
There's nothing creepy or scary about a phantom shark carved out of driftwood and painted with airplane paint.
You're telling me. Look, we can fix this. I talked to a friend of mine who does special effects for music videos and directed DVD horror movies. He says he can make a shark Spielberg would love. Post-production, it'll look 60 or 80 feet long.
This was a dumb story, Doug. The only reason I went was because of the work being done with the Calusa Indians.
I know! That stuff is awesome! We're not going to touch it. Well, except we may have to edit it a little to add the extra shark footage.
Look, Doug, I already edited the piece. We don't need any more footage of the shark. It was just one little piece of the whole story.
Marketing thinks the shark is the story.
Marketing is wrong.
Anya, look, without people buying commercial time on chasing history's monsters, you and I will be chasing unemployment checks.
Speak for yourself. I've had a few other offers.
I'm sure you have, but we both know that if you had someone else who would give you the budget this show does, you'd have departed with a smile on your face that day.
This really stinks.
It's a fact of life. Gigantic killer sharks are a lot more interesting than Calusa Indians.
Calusa.
That proves my point. People will remember the shark. I remember the shark more than I remember the Indians.
Look, I'm over this conversation, Doug. Did Mario leave a number where he could be reached?
Nope. Let me transfer you to your voicemail. You can hear straight from the horse's mouth.
Thanks, Doug.
You have one new message.
Hey, Anya. This is Mario Fellini. I don't know if you remember me, but we worked on Hadrian's Wall together a few years ago. You've gone off and gotten famous. I see you all the time. I ordered the Chasing Histories Monsters DVD and I started recording the show. It's good stuff. I don't know how you work under those conditions. I have to admit that other woman gets on my nerves. I hate to bother you with this, but I think I've gotten myself in a bit of trouble. This business of digging up the past, sometimes you dig up things others would like to keep buried, and I'm afraid that's what I've done. Anyway, I mailed you something that I'd like you to take a look at. I've been here 2 days, and I haven't heard from you. I can't give you a phone number, I'm afraid, and I'm changing hotels every night. Unfortunately, I don't have a cell phone with me either. I've been told people can track you through those if they get a hold of your records. The people involved in this, they can do things like that. Maybe I shouldn't have come. Irena didn't want me to come. Anyway, when you get the package, hold on to it until I call you. I'll keep trying. In the meantime, take care of yourself. These are dangerous men. There's one other thing. When you get the package and see what's in there, just remember what happened to us at Hadrian's Wall. Goodbye, Anya. I hope to see you soon.
Anya looked around the bar, feeling momentarily vulnerable. Following the two men to the hotel probably wasn't the brightest thing she could have done, but it had felt right. If she called the police now, she'd be stuck answering questions for hours. She could only hope that Bart McGilley would call her soon. He was the only person she knew who could cut through the red tape, or at least, she hoped. In a way, it made sense that Mario had come to her. Anya didn't think it was just because of the past friendship. She felt certain part of the reason Mario had come was because of the sword she carried. Rue had told her that dealing with trouble was part of the legacy of the sword. The old man had been with her when she'd found the last broken piece of the weapon, and there again when she'd touched the sword and it reassembled itself, somehow. Anya didn't like thinking in terms that included magic, but she had no explanation for how the sword worked, or how Rue and Garin Braden had continued to live since before Joan of Arc's execution, 500 years ago.
All right, Agent Smith. Bring it on. That's why I'm here.
You know, Anya, I'm not here just so you can hang up on me every time you get...
Doug!
Is something wrong?
I think so.
Can I help?
Could you have my answering service there at the studio switched over so any phone calls coming in there will ring on my cell phone?
Sure, but I don't think you really want that.
What do you mean?
You get phone calls here every day. People who love the show. People who hate the show. People who want to marry you or just leave obscene suggestions. I gotta warn you, those people can get really creative. It's hard to listen to sometimes.
Why don't I ever hear any of that?
You hear the good stuff. The rest I have wiped off by my assistant.
I'm a big girl, Doug. I can handle it. Just switch the phone over for me.